Now that the pine forests of British Columbia, one of the great swaths of trees of the world, are dead and dying due to the pine bark beetle, should we cut them down or should we leave them standing? That's the big question as far as climate change is concerned. Dr. Brian Fredin of the University of Northern British Columbia has explained the phenomenon to Brian Coxford of BCTV.
The carbon that's in these trees, which is accumulated now over a period of 60 to 80 years probably, is after mountain pine beetle is going to start to come off now as carbon dioxide gas, which is our primary greenhouse gas.
We already know the pine beetle is a beneficiary of climate change because our weather is no longer cold enough to kill it off. We also know it's become a kind of environmental plague. It will kill 80% of BC's pine forest. It's increased the forest fire risk. It's changing water levels as trees die. And now the pine beetle is likely helping accelerate climate change.
Here is the story. Up until now, we have assumed that cutting down the dead pine forests for lumber would sequester the carbon into the trees of boards and buildings and furniture and other uses. That is much better than letting the forest burn, we think, and releasing vast amounts of CO2 into the atmosphere. Or is it? Writers like Ben Metcalf and now scientists like Dr. Fredin are questioning whether clear-cutting the dead pine really helps save the planet from more climate change or adds to the carbon load. For one thing, this madcap cutting process leaves tons and tons of wood waste on the forest floor. That is true of all clear-cutting. That waste decomposes into tons of greenhouse gases, perhaps more than was saved by cutting the wood. We don't know for sure. That is why scientists from this northern university have established giant towers over clear cuts, including pine harvesting, to actually measure the amount of CO2 rising up into the air. They are studying the atmosphere above the forest near Prince George, right in the middle of the pine beetle plague. So far, their results suggest that we continue to add more CO2 through the forest process. But more serious, Dr. Fredin suggests, is the fact that lodgepole pines, which are the most plentiful tree in the interior of British Columbia, are great at sucking up CO2 from the atmosphere. Now that this powerful engine is gone, more CO2 will go up there. Let's go back to this excellent news report by BCTV, the global network station in Vancouver, from July 31, 2007, starting with the voice of Dr. Brian Fredin.
They're potentially going to contribute to global warming because of this pulse of release of CO2 coming from these dying and decaying forests.
Also part of the study is the possible effects on global warming created by the accelerated logging of pine beetle kill wood. The harvest in four key areas is up 78% to capture the economic value from infested timber before it has no value at all. In the harvesting process, the tree also releases carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
We found that clear cuts in a net clear-cut sense, they're contributing carbon dioxide to the atmosphere for up to 10 years after you harvest. So that's a continual release of carbon until they start taking up carbon dioxide after 10 years.
The UNBC study has more significance with the knowledge that healthy, mature lodgepole pine trees absorb more carbon dioxide than other harvested trees. The pine occupies up to 30% of our timber harvest land. And to date, the pine beetle has killed an area of pine forest three times the size of Vancouver Island.
Now, the area Brian just referred to, that's three times the size of Vancouver Island, amounts to a staggering 9.2 million hectares of BC forest. The pine beetle has a lot of food to go through. Lodgepole pine covers 50% of the interior of BC and 30% of the province as a whole. Last year alone, the pine beetle killed some 90 million cubic meters of timber. It sounds like a lot, but believe it or not, that's actually an improvement over previous years. Last year, the attack area grew by just 500,000 hectares. In 2005, it grew by 1.7 million hectares. And the year before that, it grew by nearly 3 million hectares. But don't think that means this problem is solved. The slower increase in the attack area is simply because the beetle is running out of food. Chris, that's NewsHour Insight for tonight.
So Dr. Fredin, the UNBC professor of ecosystem science, suggests that the pine bark beetle has changed the forest from a natural sink for carbon dioxide into a new source of this dangerous greenhouse gas. And it all started because winters in the north are now too warm, under climate change, to kill off the insect predators. Climate change breeds more climate change, and yet another positive feedback effect just being discovered. Forest industry executives argue that the clearcuts will be replanted, and those new trees will begin to accumulate significant amounts of carbon dioxide out of the air as they grow 10 years or more from now. First of all, that assumes that the replanting will work, given the weird weather predicted under climate change. It may turn out the new species will not thrive as the old, under drought or heat. Some area may even turn into grasslands, despite replanting the trees. But the real problem is that during that 10-year gap, these dead forests fail to recapture carbon dioxide. Instead, they release CO2 that they had gathered. Warmer winters and the pine bark beetle have robbed the earth of a giant carbon vacuum cleaner, the 10 million hectares of pine forests in one of the largest remaining stands on the planet. The great boreal forests of Canada may be infected next. In a statement quoted in the Vancouver Sun, Fredin said, quote, "Clear cutting can release enormous amounts of carbon to the atmosphere for 10 years or more after harvesting," end quote. That is news the government and the logging industry doesn't want to hear. The Campbell government has been ramping up to claim logging and reforestation in British Columbia as green technologies, possibly even for carbon credits in a world trading program. But if actual scientific tests show clear-cutting releases lots of carbon, the whole scheme means clear-cut logging isn't climate-friendly at all. No big surprise there. Deforestation is blamed for about a quarter of the new greenhouse gases poisoning the atmosphere around the world. And according to scientists like NASA's James Hansen, this particular 10 years is the most important period in history when it comes to the future direction of the climate. Humans have tripped up a sensitive mechanism that can tip the climate from ice to tropical heat, and we have only another 10 years or so to clamp down on our carbon emissions from all sources before we tip irrevocably into a new and very damaged climate. Even if new forests can grow to replace the massive pine forests of British Columbia in a decade or two, that will be too late to stop extreme temperature rise, they think, and other positive feedback loops. There isn't a winning game plan here, I'm sorry to say, but if the next 10 years are as critical as top experts claim, and if clear-cutting the dead pine actually speeds up release of CO2, then the world might be better off letting the carbon stay in the dead pine trees while we move into a crash program to replace fossil fuels with renewables and energy conservation. I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock.